Luke 19, and then the Gospel of John, chapter number 4. Then let's stand at this time for the reading of God's Word. We'll begin in Luke chapter 19. We read just one verse, verse number 10. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, if you will, go to John chapter number 4. And we see Jesus in the seeking and saving business in John chapter number 4. John chapter 4, verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto her, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the man, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And we're going to speak on this subject this morning, seeking and saving the lost. Seeking and saving the lost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you left for us intact a perfectly preserved copy of the Bible, of your words. And Lord, we can preach it with great confidence. We can receive it with great confidence. And Lord, we can know that it is divine and eternal and living. And I pray, Lord, that you would let that we would let it do its perfect work in our heart today. Now, Lord, I need your help this morning. I need clarity of thought. Lord, I need extra strength right now. Lord, I need Holy Spirit unction. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that as the listeners listen, Lord, they too would be filled with your Spirit, ready to receive what you have for all of us today. And we do, of course, as we've done since the beginning of the morning, we pray, Lord, for that one that may come in and be without Christ. Lord, we pray for that person that's lost. Lord, whether they be out in the children's church, whether they be in one of the primary churches, Lord, whether they be right here in this auditorium, Lord, I pray that you bring Holy Spirit conviction. Oh, what a great day when someone receives Jesus as their Savior. The angels in heaven rejoice, Lord, and when one sinner comes to repentance. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that would happen today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I took you, first of all, to Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, because I believe it contains a one-sentence summary of the reason that Jesus Christ came to this earth. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. After Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, giving us a gospel to preach, He came back in His glorified body, spent 40 days appearing here, there, and yonder at different select times, encouraging His disciples, challenging His disciples, kind of hitting a reset button with His disciples, and then at the very end, enlisting and commanding His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What He was really doing at that time was passing the baton to us. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And Jesus then in His glorified body began to ascend to heaven. But before He did, He said, listen, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so this seeking and saving business started with Jesus Christ. And then He says, listen, you can't save people, but you can seek people out. And you can tell them about Me, and I can save them if they'll let Me save them. So Jesus is in the seeking and saving business. Boy, it's fun to read the Gospels. From time to time, I think every one of us in here would do well just to say, you know what, for the next week or two, I'm just going to sit down every morning and read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I just want to, for a few weeks or a few months, walk beside Jesus as He walked here on earth. I'm going to be that 13th disciple. I'm going to watch everything that Jesus did. I'm going to listen to everything Jesus said. And then I'm going to ask myself, why did He go there? Or why did He say that? Or what did He mean by that? I'm going to listen to every parable that He taught. I'm going to listen to every word He said. I'm going to sit at His feet for the next few months and just listen to Jesus as He walked here on this earth. And folks, I think at the end of that time, you know what? You'll become a seeker of souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you can't be a disciple of Jesus, you can't be a follower of Jesus without getting in the soul-saving, soul-winning business. Amen. You know, we need Christians to go out there and be gatherers, seekers, go out with the gospel every single week and try to find and influence people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now here in John chapter number 4, we see Jesus and the woman at the well. And we see Jesus here doing what He said that He came to do, seeking out someone who was lost and then ultimately saving that woman. I like this story. There's a lot we can learn as soul winners in this story. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, there's a lot you can learn from this lady at the well. You see, the same Savior that came to her and sat down by the well and talked to her wants to come and sit down in the pew beside you this morning if you're lost, and wants to whisper in your ear the words that He whispered in this lady's ears. He wants to talk to you about the living water. He wants to talk to you about redemption. He wants to talk to you about the fact that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. He wants to, yes, remind you of your sinful condition. He wants to get you ready to that and to that point where you'll be willing to embrace Him as who He truly is, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the universe, that one that came and died on a cross, was buried, and rose again. I pray that you'll listen to Him this morning as we're preaching. Can we just point out some things from this story and maybe be helped and blessed by Him? Let me give you number one. I like this thing, and boy, this thought, and we see it in the scripture here, that Jesus was sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading, and that resulted in the salvation of this woman. Now, if you will, concentrate on verse number 4 for a minute. Verse 3 tells us he left Judea and then departed again into Galilee. Now, folks, listen to me. When the average Jew left Judea and made a trip to Galilee, there was one part of the country they avoided. Listen, if it took a little extra walking, they walked it. If it took a little extra riding, they rode around it. But no self-respecting Jew was going to cut through Samaria on the way to Galilee. Matter of fact, if you look at a map, you have to make a little bit of a detour. It's not exactly the fastest or easiest way to go. But you know what? There's a wonderful little phrase here. And he must needs go. He must needs go. He must needs go through Samaria. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit of God was directing him there. By the way, when Jesus was here on earth, he was filled with the Spirit of God. He was controlled by the Spirit of God. We read that all the way back from his baptism. We see the Spirit of God descended upon him. We see the Spirit of God leading him into the wilderness. Now, did he have to have the Holy Spirit of God? He was being an example to us, folks. You see, he was the God-man. He was God himself. But he came down here and took upon him flesh and was controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit, just like we have an opportunity to be controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And I think that the Holy Spirit said to Jesus, listen, we got to go through Samaria. There's something called, watch this, a divine appointment waiting there at a well in Samaria. Oh, I wonder how many divine appointments we miss throughout the week, just because sometimes we don't listen to the Holy Spirit directing us. I believe in this thing called divine appointments. I absolutely believe 100% in this thing called divine appointments. Say, what is that, Brother Jerry? What do you mean when you're talking about a divine appointment? I think God will reach down to a Christian that is surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of them. And I believe through the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is trying to orchestrate meetings, orchestrate two people intersecting in this life. The Holy Spirit's over here convicting and preparing somebody who's lost. And the Holy Spirit's over here trying to speak to a Christian who's filled with the Holy Spirit and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, listen, I need you to go here. You must needs go here, because I'm going to have you intercept this person. And listen, folks, we need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is teaching us and what he's directing us and what he's telling us each and every day. Yes, I mean in the little things of life. I mean in which way you drive to go to the store. I mean in which way you drive to go to work. I mean as you walk to places and walk around places looking and asking God, who is it that you want to speak to me today? Who is it, Lord? I don't believe I'm going to live this day by accident. I don't think you've got me here for nothing. Listen, there's somebody out there that you want me to speak to. There's somebody out there that you want me to have a divine appointment with. A divine appointment with. You see, the disciples, I don't think they were probably too thrilled about going through Samaria. They were plagued and affected by prejudice. Verse 27, when they came back and seen that Jesus talked with this woman, they marveled. See, folks, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. The Jews thought they were up here and the Samaritans were down here. Well, I got news for you, folks. We're all down here. We're all in the same boat. We got all kinds of folks in America. You know, boy, us and our old wicked pride. We're always trying to look at some other group or some other person that we're a little better on, that we think we're a little better, so we can feel a little bit better about ourselves. You know, that's just wicked. That's just so wrong. I wonder how many times we pass somebody and we look at them and we have a haughtiness about us or pride about us, and we look at somebody that maybe isn't dressed as nice as us, or doesn't drive the nicest car as us, or doesn't live as nice a house as us, or maybe they're of a different ethnic background, and we just kind of shy away from them. Well, Jesus just had a tendency to go towards those kind of people. You see, he loves everybody. He died for everybody. He wants to save everybody. And God has these divine appointments, and if we're not careful, folks, our prejudice, our pride, or the difficulty. You know, folks, if you look at this, Jesus had to go through a lot tougher terrain. This wasn't the easiest path to take. And you know, sometimes God's going to speak to your heart and interrupt your day. And he's going to insist that you go somewhere and it's going to mess your schedule up. But listen, if the Holy Spirit's telling you to do it, then do it. Because he's trying to orchestrate something. Boy, I think about how many times when we get to heaven, we may have to look back and God said, remember that day I was impressing your heart about this person? Remember that day I was pressing your heart to go see this individual? And you resisted that? I had that person ready. I mean, that was the moment in time in their life where they would have received Christ. But you know what? You had to get to Walmart. Boy, people are important. People are important. You know, projects around here are important, but folks, projects are number two. People are number one. You know, we got to remember that. People are number one. People are number one. We need to visit people. We need to go see people. We need to pass out gospel tracts to people. We need to witness to people. We need to let the Holy Spirit direct us and use us. Can I point out another verse to you that I think gives you a little window into the heart of Christ? In this story, we get a glimpse into the humanity of Jesus Christ. Now, let me just qualify that and tell you this, that Jesus was 100% divine, 100% God. The Bible said, though, that he did take upon him the form of flesh. We see in verse number 6 that Jesus was tired. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey. Have you ever been wearied with your journey? Wearied with his journey. Set thus on the well. And it was about the 6th hour. You say, why did he sit on the well? Because he was tired. You ever just get tired? You know, if you're tired and you can sit down, yada. That's brilliant, isn't it? Girls don't understand us. Young people don't understand us older folk, you know. You know, if you're over 30 and you get a chance to take a nap and you don't do it, you're crazy. Ever since I turned 40, I've either been looking for somewhere to go to the bathroom or somewhere to take a nap. Amen. Jesus was just tired. He was tired. Kids want to go all the time. Teens want to go all the time. We're like, wait a minute, let's just have an evening here. He was tired. You know why? He was tired in the way. He was tired. You know, that's going to be true of all of us in this room. You know, serving God and doing the right thing and working hard and trying to raise a family, you know, you're just going to be tired a lot. But let me share something with you. I don't care how tired we are, when the Lord speaks to us and says go do something, we ought to just get up and go do it. Amen? But I was encouraged by this. I'm thankful that Jesus knows how we feel. Verse number 7, by the way, he was thirsty. Verse number 8, he was hungry. You know, he was tired and thirsty and hungry. But there was something more important than how tired he was. There was something more important than how thirsty he was. There was something more important than how hungry he was. There was an opportunity to win a lost soul to Jesus Christ. See, Jesus knows. By the way, there's people all over this auditorium, sitting here this morning. And you know what? You don't feel good. Me and Cheryl stopped in for just a few minutes and visited Mrs. Bowden yesterday, and she was talking about Nathan singing that song Wednesday night. And she said, I was listening to him sing that song. What a day that would be. Is that what you sang? She said, you know, this may seem like a little thing. And she said, I know it don't mean anything to anybody. But she said, when he starts singing about there'll be no more pain. She said, you know, I've forgotten what it's like not to be in pain. I just got thinking, I think it's going to be so awesome to wake up in heaven and just no pain. No pain. Amen. You know, wouldn't that be something? There's people all over this room sitting here that's hurting, that's tired. Every single kid under 18 is hungry. I don't care how much they ate. They had 3 breakfasts, 15 pancakes. It don't matter. They're starving to death. Right now they're thinking, Brother Jerry, get done. I'm hungry. You see. Yeah, I'm sorry, folks, but, you know, there's too many people in this room right now that have, honestly, an excuse that they wanted it not to be here, but they come anyway to me to listen to these that want to talk about how they hurt a little bit, and that way, that's why they can't go to church. I'm sorry. You know, if you can sit at home, you can sit here. We got nice padded pews. Well, I got to lay down. Well, we put you out there. We'll get a gurney for you. Brother Jerry, you're being ridiculous. No, I think sometimes we're ridiculous. You know, Jesus, he knew what it was to be human. He knew what it was to be tired. He knew what it was to be thirsty. He knew what it was to be hungry. And he didn't drive around from place to place in a car or even ride a donkey. He walked. Well, we need to get a little tougher. We need to stop letting, you know, oh, I got a hangnail kick in the church. By the way, if it's a lot worse than a hangnail, you still ought to get to church. Now, I know, and you both, everybody in this room knows, there's times when we're honestly, absolutely, providentially hindered because of physical condition from coming to the house of God. But you know, God knows when that is too. By the way, go tell Sister Ruthie about it. You got her shunt taken out. Did I say the right word? Is that what it's called? Amen. You got that done Friday, right? You go well? You all right? Shunt taken out that she's had put in her body for 4 years. 4 years. Let's see. Can I count? Do I need more than that hand to count the number of times she hadn't been in church? Do I need more than those fingers to count? I don't know. I'm not keeping score, and I really don't know. All I know is I may have missed more than her. Are you with me? I'm just saying, folks, you know what? So what? We got a whole eternity to rest up one of these days. Amen. Let's just go and do what we need to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you're going to get tired. You're going to get thirsty. You're going to get hungry. But you know what? There's still something you can do for God. Maybe you can't do all you used to do, but you can do something for God. I figure this, as long as God gives me breath, he's not done with me yet. And there's something he wants me to do. But I'm glad Jesus knows what it feels like. You know, Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Did you get that? He knows what that's like. Jesus knows how we feel. Number 3, watch this. Jesus saw past a hostile exterior and saw someone who needed a Savior. Now, let me just encourage you soul winners. Let me encourage you those that witness for Jesus Christ. A lot of times the people that wear the hardest, meanest, most unappealing exteriors are the ones that have the greatest need. That's why they do it. It's a facade. I think we're scared away too many times because certain people, with one look, we decide they'll never get saved. How many are glad that some Christian didn't look at you back when you were lost and just decide you could never be saved? You see, I believe this. I mean, Jesus got to talking to him, verse number 7. Jesus got to talking to her in verse number 9 there. And there's a woman of Samaria. A woman of Samaria. And here she comes. And he says to her, listen, would you give me a drink? And verse number 9, folks, let me tell you. Let me read it like she probably said it in verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask this drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And watch this, for most of us in this room, that had been the end of the conversation. Oh, she's just not open. She's not prepared. She must not be ready. Folks, listen, the louder the bark, you know what? That probably means there's more hurt down in here. There's something that's causing that. They're in more need of a Savior than probably anybody. They need help. Don't be scared off by shaggy, long-haired guys. I could tell stories about people in this room that look awfully Christian this morning. But you know what? At one time of their life, they're away from God, and some Christian cared enough not to be scared off by long hair. Don't be scared off by an earring or piercings. Even though I don't understand the piercing thing, don't be scared off by that. They need a Savior. They need a Savior, you see. And this story, I think, God, Jesus Christ just says, you know what? There are prepared hearts, but you may not recognize who's prepared and who's not in the first two or three sentences. You know, be careful. I've knocked on doors before and had people get short with me and get almost mad at me and get mean with me. And you know what I found out is a lot of times what you ought to do is just take a step back and say to that lady or that man, you know what? You're hurting inside. Something's hurting you, isn't it? And you'd be surprised how many times you see anger meld away and a scowl turn into tear-filled eyes. You know, people are hurting. You know, a lot of people just need to find somebody that'll look past that tough exterior, look past that hard exterior and say, listen, there's a lost soul that lives inside of there and that needs a Savior. You know, for those years that I spent up in Bible college where we worked in inner city, I'm going to tell you something. One of the things I learned right away, folks, is you can't. If you're going to be scared off by a tough exterior, you're not going to win anybody to Jesus Christ up in those areas. You know, you'd look on walking up and down those inner cities, and there would be those tough gang kids sitting around in packs of three or four on street corners and hard looks on their faces and dressed up in their gang colors and their arms like this and their music blaring. Let me tell you what those people are. They're just lost souls that need Jesus. That's what they are. Just lost souls that need Jesus. You see, Brother J.R. goes into prisons, and some of the men here go with him into the prisons. And you know what's there? A bunch of hard men. A bunch of hard women. All kinds of problems. But you know what? They need Jesus. By the way, you get to talk to them. You get past all that. You just find out they've just got heartaches like everybody else does. Yeah, they're confused like everyone else is. They just need somebody to love them and share the gospel with them. And I'm glad Jesus, listen, he just kept prodding and kept prodding and kept poking and kept poking and kept asking and kept and her in conversation. And listen, she would try to pick an argument with him. Did you notice that several times in the passage there? Verse 9, we read that. She wants to say, listen, whoa, how dare you ask me, being a Jew? Jesus just diffused that situation and said, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him and he would have given thee living water. He didn't argue back with her. He just brought it all the way around, answered her question and got it back to the living water, got it back to the gospel. Don't let people, when you're witnessing to you, get you off involved in all kinds of side arguments. Listen, what they need is the gospel. Jesus used tact and kindness, and he answered her truthfully, but he kept bringing her back to her need. You have a need of a Savior. You have a need of a Savior. You have a need of a Savior. Verse number 11, the woman said to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Watch this. Here's a challenge. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Yeah, by the way, he was greater. What's Jesus say? Does he argue back with her? Verse 13, you know what he said? Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh the water that I give him shall never thirst again. Listen, folks, listen. Don't lower yourself. Don't get down there. Just keep telling them how to be saved. Listen, answer their arguments with tact and kindness, but keep bringing them back to the gospel. The gospel is what they need to hear. The gospel is what you need to give them. You know, folks, don't forget to be kind. You know, when you go door knocking, when you're visiting on your bus route, you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And young people, listen to me. I know it's hard when you're a teenager, and it's hard sometimes when you're going down a block and the last five doors, four of them, you were yelled at, cussed out, or had the door slammed in your face. But listen, don't get vindictive with people. Hurt for them. Hurt for them. Return evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Learn to love people. Learn to care about people. Understand, folks, listen to me. That's just, all that's just what lost people do. That's just natural. That comes from a heart full of hurt and a life full of sin. Don't do that back to them. Be nice. Be kind. Be gracious. Men, be a gentleman. Gals, be a lady. Smile. Represent the Savior properly, you see. And be kind. Use tact. I know you're a fundamentalist, but you can be a nice fundamentalist. You can be. Answer every one of their questions by bringing the person back to the matter of salvation. I mean, if you've gone so many very long, knocked on doors, you've heard every argument under the sun. You know, I don't care what question you ask. They've got an argument for it. If you died right now, you know for sure you go to heaven. I don't think anybody can know that for sure. Hell yes, you can. What's wrong with you? Don't you believe God? You know, and boy, you're ready to fight them. Just open the Bible with a big smile and say, let's read a few verses. Let's see what the Bible says. Wonder what God has to say about that, you see. Jesus established, watch this, let me give you the next thing. Boy, this is interesting. Boy, he got her interested in the living water idea. All of a sudden, she wants what Jesus has to offer. I don't think she understands the depth of it at this point, but she wants it. It sounds good. And all of a sudden, we see Jesus totally shift gears in verse number 16. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Something else we've got to be careful of, folks, when we're out trying to seek and to save, when we're out doing the soul-winning business. Jesus established firmly in her mind and her heart that she was a sinner. That she was a sinner. I don't know how many of you read the Lenten paper. Over the last couple of weeks, I have been so busy, I've only read a couple of them. Most of them are sitting by my recliner waiting to be read, and they may not get read. My wife only lets the pile get so high before it goes all in the trash, all right? So they may not get read. But there was a lady that wrote in to the editor here a week or a week and a half ago. And she's living with a man. Now watch this. You be patient with me a minute. She was living with a man. And they came to church. And the preacher, I don't think, went after her. I don't think he probably even knew her situation if she was a visitor, but he just preached the truth. Now put your seatbelts on. He preached the truth. And you know what the truth is? You know what God's word says? It's adultery to live together before you're married. She wrote an article to the editor and said, this is exactly why most people won't come to church that's out in the world, because when we do come to church, the first thing we hear is something like that. People judging us, people condemn us. Watch this. Some of you right now are falling into that same trap, that same thought, because you hear it from the ecumenical so much. You need to come to a church where a preacher preaches against sin. You need to get lost people into a church where a preacher preaches against sin, where Sunday school teachers teach against sin. Name it. Name it out. You know why? Because unless you are convicted of your sin, you will never be saved. By the way, I wasn't as disturbed by the article that she wrote as I was a few days later. The article that came in the paper defending and standing by this woman from another so-called Christian. I'm going to tell you something. If you hadn't read that, you ought to read. It's just a view of a picture into this new philosophy of church building. And she began to say, that girl's exactly right. I wish Christians and churches everywhere in this community would get it. You don't need to talk about their sin. You don't need to condemn them. You don't need to judge them. You just need to get them to Jesus and let Jesus tell them about Jesus. All we have a responsibility to do is just give them the gospel. Watch this. This is what she's saying. Just give them the gospel. Just tell them about Jesus. Just tell them what he'd done for them. Just get them to Jesus. Just get them saved. And then watch this. You can't get someone saved until they've been told of their sin and convicted of their sin. You see, if they don't know they're lost, they're never going to get saved. Are you getting this? Be careful, soul winners. Be careful. You know, there's 4 points to the Romans Road, not 2. There's 4 points to Romans Road, not 2. You know, when I go through the plan of salvation with somebody, I inevitably end up in Revelation chapter 21 talking about hell. I spend a lot of time in Romans chapter 3 talking about sin. You know what? Hey, you remember when you got saved? Why'd you get saved? Brother, some preacher probably got up in a revival meeting and preached a sermon on hell, and you went home, was holding on to your sheets so tight, scared to death that you were going to die before you woke up. You know what? Because you knew you were a sinner, and you knew that's where you deserved to go, and you were under Holy Ghost conviction. Or some preacher got up and preached on the rapture, and you got to thinking, you know what's going to happen? I'm a sinner. I'm lost. She's going to come back. I'm going to end up in a tribulation period, and then locusts are going to chase me. I like the old time religion, by the way. I'm so tired of these churches that are nothing more but entertainment centers. That's all they are. Social club and entertainment centers. Come on in and say that you like Jesus, love Jesus, and accept Jesus. And guess what? Join us. You'll be a Christian automatically. Listen, no preaching against sin, no condemning sin, jumping over large sections of the Bible as if they're not even there. And there's no Holy Spirit conviction. There's no conviction of sin. There's no true repentance. And there's no salvation. So we have a bunch of churches filled with tares. I'm just telling you, it's true. You know, saying quack, quack don't make you a duck. Saying Jesus, 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 let's worship Jesus. I love going to that church, come back every Sunday feeling so good about myself. So good about myself. I don't know, I read this Bible and a lot of times I feel lousy about myself. Now we need some encouragement, sure. Sure we do. And there's a lot of encouraging things in the Bible. But we also need to realize, folks, that we've got to get people lost or they're not going to get saved. This woman's coming along, she's getting interested, all of a sudden this living water sounds good. Hey, yeah, well go get your husband. Whoa, wait. Oh, I don't have a husband. Yeah, I know you don't, Jesus said. But you've had 5 and you're living with somebody that's not your husband. All of a sudden, the whole tone's changed. You know what you are, lady? You're in trouble. You're a sinner. And all of a sudden, by the way, after that, her tone changed. Because I believe Holy Spirit conviction began to set in. It's at that point she began to realize that this was the Messiah. That this was somebody that knew and could see her. She began to talk about him being a prophet. And then began to talk about the Messiah. And then Jesus announces to her, listen to me, I am the Messiah. The one that speaks to you right now. I'm he. Buddy, she put that water pot down, and you know what? I believe at that point she believed with all her heart, this is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He is God. And she put her faith and trust as a result of being convicted of her sin. You see, we ain't, listen, don't fall in this trap. Oh, Brother Jerry, if we changed this, if we'd be nicer. We went several years ago, me and Cheryl, went by the college to visit a man, and then we drove over to visit a friend of ours, and we went over to, near Gary, Indiana. And this lady, friend of Cheryl's, one of her friends from college, live over there. I don't want anybody else leaving the service, okay? Go ahead, Brother Jim. You young people can sit and wait. You don't need to be leaving the service. You know? We have a break time before the service. You go to the restroom and after the service, but this needs to stop. I mean, there's nothing more important than this. Preaching, all right? And we're driving from the college, and we turn, and we hadn't been down that way in several years, and we came around on I think it's Broadway and was heading north, and we look over the right after we went a couple miles, and there's this giant, new, gigantic church complex. And they had a bunch of buses out front. I thought, well, praise God. And the buses were purple. And they had a big sign out front of the church. And the name of the church, watch this, the name of the church was, in big letters, The Nice Church. The nice church. That's the name of their church. The nice church. I look on the side of the buses. The nice church. The nice church. The nice church. The nice purple. The nice purple buses. The nice church. By the way, that's the philosophy. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. You know. Come on in here. You want the
one
man that's building the big, you know, this big contemporary movement, started that whole thing. Sin's not on our menu. Well, you know what? Neither salvation. You see, before Jesus Christ came, watch this, we're fitted. Before Jesus Christ came, he sent a forerunner to prepare the way. And his name was John the Baptist, and he had one message. Repent! Repent! People come down, and the soldiers come down, and he said, you're stealing from people. They preach against their sin and preach on the fact that they needed to repent. Why? Because he was the forerunner to prepare the way of the Lord so that when Jesus came, they could accept him and be saved. You know what? Preaching against sin, identifying sin, naming sin, that kind of stuff is still the forerunner before anybody will get saved. It's the forerunner to salvation. So folks, the gospel doesn't have, the gospel presentation doesn't have 2 points. I worry about people say, well, you know what? It's easier to get them to pray if you don't mention hell. It's easier to get them to pray. You know, saying we're not Catholic. Saying some bunch of words doesn't make you a born-again Christian. Calling out to Christ as a lost sinner. When you realize you're lost and who Jesus is and what he did, and from a heart of conviction and repentance, wanting to turn from your sin to Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm wicked. I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. You know, I need Jesus. That's salvation. Amen. Watch it. Then the last thing, I like the fact that once she got done, folks, her willingness, the willingness of one to believe, brought about the conversion of many more. Now, let me just share this and we'll be done. You know, I always wonder when somebody's not saved in a service like this. And right now, if you're here and you're not saved, the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. You know you ought to be saved. You know, I've seen this happen. Pastor's seen this his whole life. Anybody that preaches out seen this. A lot of times, boy, you can feel the conviction of God in a service. You can feel the conviction of God. I think preaching teen meetings, preaching teen camp, a lot of times you feel that. I mean, you can feel the stirring of God after the delivery of a message, invitation time, stirring of God. You can feel the presence of God. I remember preaching. I got done preaching one time. I was on the platform, and the pastor was up conducting the invitation, and the assistant pastor next to me leaned over with the heads bowed, and he looked and he said, You could cut God with a knife. He's so thick in the air in here. And sometimes, you know, but a lot of times, who's going to move first? Who's going to go first? How many times have you been in a service where finally somebody who has needed to get saved for a long time gives in and gives to God and comes up and gets saved? And, well, I'll tell you what, just as soon as they do, here goes boom, 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 boom. Well, they just did it because he didn't know. They wanted to be saved. But somebody somebody has to be for this woman. If she hadn't have got saved, if she would have resisted the gospel, if she would have said, you know what, I don't need all this, I don't care. If she would have ignored what God was trying to do in her heart and just went back to her sinful life, it wouldn't have just condemned her to hell. But this entire city, all of those folks, the many that believe, would never have gotten saved. Hey, listen, if you don't get saved, it may not just be you you're condemning to hell. It may be your husband, it may be your wife, it may be your children, it may be your entire family, it may be multitudes. Because everybody affects somebody else. You know, if you're not saved here this morning, Jesus loves you. Oh, but Brother Jerry, you know, he loves you. But you don't know what I've done. And oh, I feel so convicted. I think I've done too much. I mean, can God really forgive? Yes, he can really forgive. Can he really save? Yes, he can really save. Does he want to save? Yes, he wants to save you today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Seeking and saving, seeking and saving. Still going on right now, Holy Spirit of God. That great Lord of the harvest is still walking up and down aisles and churches all over the country right now, right here in this auditorium. He's speaking to sinners. He's speaking to lost people. Jesus wants to save you today. You can't come in your haughtiness. You can't come in your pride. You got to recognize that you're a sinner. You got to recognize what that means. You got to understand what that means. You got to understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. That's why he died. He died for the sins that you're being convicted about. And if you're willing to turn to Jesus Christ and ask him to, he'll wash you white as snow, the Bible says. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. I mean, buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. As far as the east is from the west, so he separated our sins from us. I mean, there's nothing better in the world than just feeling clean, knowing that you're forgiven, knowing that Jesus Christ has wiped your record clean with his blood. Now, have you ever been saved? Have you ever been saved? I'm talking about people who know they're not saved. I'm talking about maybe people that haven't been coming to bless so very long. I may be talking to someone who's been here your whole life. It doesn't make any difference. Let me ask you, are you saved? Are you saved? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that you speak to that lost soul, Lord, that needs to be saved. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you bring about Holy Spirit conviction on their life. Give them the boldness, the courage to do the right thing, to step forward in just a minute and be saved. And Lord, I pray that you speak to us that are saved. Oh, Lord, this world needs ambassadors. They need soul winners. They need people that will go about their life listening to God and passing out tracts and stopping people on the street and sitting down at a well somewhere on a bench or in a park. And just saying, hey, have you ever received Jesus as your Savior? I pray, Lord, you'd help us to keep those divine appointments. This week, this next week, there's people you want us, that you'll bring across our path, that you want us maybe to divert our schedule, change our schedule, to go find somebody that needs Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you do a work this morning. Heads about, eyes are closed. Pastor Jerry, yeah, I don't know if I'm saved. I think I'm lost. Boy, I feel God speaking to my heart. I think I'm lost. I want to get saved. I want to just get that taken care of once and for all. I want to know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I feel Holy Spirit conviction this morning. I know I'm a sinner and I'm convicted about it. I know that God's calling my name. He's got his hand upon me. He wants me to be saved. He's drawn me to himself. Would you pray for me, Brother Jerry? I won't embarrass you. I won't come get you. I won't call your name out. But I want to pray for you. Just slip your hand up and I'll pray for you real quick. Anyone like that? Boy, the Lord spoke to my heart in a powerful way. I'm lost and I need to be saved. That's me. That's me. Anybody like that? Anybody at all? How about it, Christians? What can we do this week? Who is it that God wants us to talk to this week? Lord, bless the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.